On today's La Carallo monthly call on Monday the 22nd of April at 2300 UTC, we have on the Spanish channel José Arce, Humberto Carrasco, Diego Basistas, Juan Manuel Rojas, Alberto Soto, Natalia Inciso, Aida Noblia, Antonia Medina Gomez, Fatima Cambronero, Alejandro Pisanti, and Aislan Basilio. On the English channel, we have Niran Behari. Apologies noted from Johnny Laureano, Sylvia Hairline Leiter, Dev Anand Tuluksin, Carlton Samuels, Sergio Salinas Porto, and Sintra Suknanen. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Silvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today are Sabrina and Veronica. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channel. Thank you very much, and over to you, José.
This is José Arce speaking. Welcome to the La Carallo monthly call. We are slightly behind schedule, so we are going to go straight into our speaker's presentation in accordance with our monthly capacity building program in La Carallo, started by Fatima and Natalia. Today we have the pleasure of hosting Mr. Alejandro Pisanti. All of you know him already. He has kindly given us his time to speak about the core principles of the Internet. That was one of the mostly requested topics in our survey, and I believe that Alejandro is the best person or the most suitable person to address this topic. So Alejandro, thank you very much for being here, and I now give you the floor so that you can start with your presentation. José Arce speaking. Okay, I see that Alejandro is typing something on our AC chat. I don't know if Alejandro, perhaps he's got audio issues. Alejandro, I wrote down that we had no action items, no pending or outstanding action items. That's why we go straight onto the capacity building session, and I gave you the floor. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Very well, then. Can you hear me? José Arce speaking. Yes, of course, Alejandro. And once again, let me thank you, publicly acknowledge you for being here in order to address these topics that are so important to our region. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Thank you, José. I will try to adjust my audio setting. Please bear with me, and I will be doing this shortly. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Maybe in this way I can reduce our background noise. Checking audio. Can you all hear me all right? José Arce speaking. I think there's some echo. I can hear some echo.
I can hear you fine on my
end. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. What about now? Is there any echo? Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Okay, I think I will stick to this microphone. Maybe we have a little bit more background noise, but we have no echo at all. So, I would like to reaffirm my commitment towards our recent election. We held a discussion, a debate, and we agreed on certain aspects. We also realize we have some areas of disagreement, but we want to turn those areas of disagreement into something constructive. So I want to once again state my commitment in order to continue building up this region. My initial analysis on the results of the election is that we need to give a much higher priority to cohesion among the sub-regions, and this was underscored by Carlton in his message. And we also need to resume and conclude the strategic planning working group's task or work. And if you all agree, I haven't had time to upload the corresponding material, but I will do so that you can follow the presentation. Sylvia, I don't know if I have the control of my slides, if I can control my slides on the screen. Okay. So I will now deal with the presentation, my presentation, and in the interest of time, I wouldn't like to shift channels, but I believe that in the future, we should focus on bridging our language gap which also affects our sub-regions, if you will. So in the future, maybe we should have part of the presentation in English and part of the presentation in Spanish. So we should take these considerations into account, given also the lack of symmetry in terms of language. When I speak about the core principles of the Internet, we speak about some ex-ante principles and some ex-post principles that were recognized regarding durability, etc., and some of them have been recognized in terms of durability and so on. Some of them are culturally recognizable principles. Some of them are compatible and can be expressed in similar manners, and they represent a cultural convergence, especially in the United States in the 1970s. Where we had the work of a strategic or an alliance, and we also saw work on individuals' rights. I do not want to go into further detail, but this was sort of Californian, if you will, and I don't want to go further into detail because I may get into some slippery turf. So we need to focus on the future technology, if you will, par excellence. The first principle is interoperability, the package connection, and the layers model. So interoperability, layer model, decentralization, openness, the dummy network, and then the rough consensus and running code principle, the rough consensus and running code principle, the dummy network smart edge or end-to-end principle. And then the other principle left is the innovation without the need to ask for permission. Can you please let me know if somebody else is controlling the screen? So, I will first address the principle of interoperability. That is the most important principle. And it is internet exclusive. Interoperability has to do with the interconnectivity of networks, each network with its own technology, and this is achieved by means of protocols that enable this or this interconnection. We need different protocols for these networks within the network, but when we interconnect, we use the IP protocols and protocols that are on top of these protocols. Then we see minimalism. That is, we need to secure minimum operability and information standards in order to guarantee operability. This is different from TX400 networks, for instance, that required plenty of information in terms of information and command and control. And once again, I am no longer controlling my own screen, my own presentation. And I am really sorry about this. Maybe I can regain control of my screen, of my slides. And also, I want to check if my audio and my volume are okay, if you can hear me all right. Jose Arce is speaking. Yes, Alejandro, I can hear you all right, but I don't see the slides moving forward, let's say, or your presentation moving forward in the AC room. Alejandro Pisanti is speaking. Okay, Gisela had told me that I have control of the slides, so I am trying again. I hope you all see the slide that says or reads interoperability. And so I was dealing with standards, and I wanted to say that we need a lower computer processing cycle in order to achieve the desired effect. And we need to be generous with what we receive and mean with what we send, if you will. So this principle of being generous with what you receive and mean with what you send can be applied at higher layers, for instance, when it comes to electronic emails. So we need to minimize the sending of spam, email, jokes, etc., so that we prevent them from escalating onto or into higher layers. And finally, in terms of interoperability, we need protocols to fit or meet standards. And that standardization mechanism is the task of the Internet Engineering Task Force that is not even a legal entity. Participation there is completely open. And I will let you know about how it works in future slides. Let us focus on the layer and package switching model. This is a model that addresses a type of modularity, and it focuses on abstraction. That is, each module works or functions in according to the gateway or interface requirements. And we need to focus on inputs and output points. And we know, or we can see this with light bulbs that we use in our homes, if you will, and they have to fit certain standards in order to work properly. But from the point of view of the electrical installation, you know, as long as the light bulb works, then their objective is attained. Then it is up to us to change the light bulbs and to choose different models, etc. When it comes to the layer model, we see that one layer fits into the other. So this is a system or an ecosystem that enables the transmission of signals, and signals that can be interpreted as information from one point to another point. And that may be an electrical or electricity cable, it may be a fiber optic cable, it may be a satellite communication, for instance. And in each layer we have the basic the basic specifications for each layer, so that communication is faster, more stable, if it can have a wider range in terms of kilometers, etc. However, the web page designer does not have to focus on the information packages. He or she works at home using the network, so I want this point to be clear in terms of the layer model. This is not the only model available. In the 1970s, we had the OSI model, and I will try to slow down, and I apologize to the interpreters. And my mother was also an interpreter, so her recollection comes to mind when I think about speakers such as myself. Anyway, the OSI model is extremely complex. It was never feasible from a practical point of view. And then we have the package switching that has to do with traditional telephone or cable TV connections requiring another channel completely devoted to routing or routing. So the package switching was proposed. That is, first we turn information into packages, and then we find the routing or routing for each of these packages, so that all the elements that make up a message can reach the destination by means of different channels and by means of using a computer. And then also, package switching enables me to introduce more routing or routing. That is, in a node that I can compensate by means of sending the package or the information package. This has to do with coordination, communication, and command configurations for military purposes in the United States, Europe, and Japan. Also, we need to take into account scalability considerations, because this package configuration is far more scalable. However, or also, using packages enables a more flexible scalability. Let us address the principle of openness now. First of all, we need to focus on open networks that are open to the interconnection among networks, and then they are ready for interoperability. So we do not require a specific equipment brand. We do not require a specific representation of information. However, we do require observance of interoperability principles or standards. As regards openness, we work with open standards. They are public, free of charge. They do not have any proprietary format when they are published. So you will see that they are not published as Word or PDF because the idea is to eliminate some licenses that make these contents highly expensive. Finally, we have to focus on open processes, that is the universal engagement or participation in standards proposals without any kind of barrier. An IETF standard cannot be approved, for instance, if interpreters apologize, but Mr. Pisanti's audio is rather faint at times. We are now going to focus on the principle of decentralization. All or everything somebody needs to connect into the internet is to be able to hook into the net. And then we need to focus on the development of technology with low barriers to entry. We need to focus on the decentralized decision-making process. We need to focus on routing or routing. We see this in the DNS also. We see this in the interpretation and the implementation or application of protocols, etc. And once again, we come to the issue of scalability. We need to focus on when a two-way communication can become or adopt another format. So we need a far more scalable network. This network is called the dummy network, but it is not dummy at all. However, it is called this way because the net or network does not make any decisions. The packages that are transmitted are videos, text messages, etc., and they are all encrypted, and the network separates the TCP from the IP protocols, and this enables the use of UDP protocols. And it also, the network, it also decides on the edge, compression edge, be it with or without a loss. It decides on content, and this derives in the end-to-end principle. Now we need to focus on the rough consensus and running code decision-making principle. We need to focus on standards. Once these standards have been proved, we need to focus on their adoption. Their adoption depends on whether they meet the user's needs. And this is done by means of the request for comments in different stages, from draft to standards track to briefing document, etc. So there's plenty of comparison with regulatory issues, and the IETF seems to be very suitable in this regard. As a result of all the foregoing, we have plenty of innovation or innovative initiatives. For example, the POS model that requires the authorization of telecom carriers so that for all components, maybe you remember or recall the time in which telecom carriers were the owners of absolutely everything, and we couldn't get any connection or connectivity without the telecom carrier's authorization. And they even decided, if you will, on issues pertaining to our personal lives. So we have open end-to-end standards that enable us to embrace innovation simply the science fiction dream, if you will, of the 1970s. Was to enable standardization. Interpreters apologize, but Mr. Pisanti's audio is really faint at times. So today we see that users resort to email and to other technologies to speak about almost everything in their lives, and this empowers users and communities. And to conclude, let me address an emerging value, and that is the permanent beta value. As you know, when a product is in the beta phase, it has undergone the alpha testing phases, and future customers or clients can start working with this product. Although it is not yet fully guaranteed, one of the most important emerging values is this permanent beta. So standards are not conclusive, but we have constant innovation at all or in all layers. Sometimes this is a little bit shocking for cultures that are more responsibility or liability oriented. And of course, this permanent beta principle enables us to address challenges, to address the Internet of Things, the scalability, and we can mention examples that apply to our everyday life, for example, with supermarket workers resorting to these technologies, and so on and so forth. And then we have overall scalability issues. We have the IPv4 depletion, and we have the IPv6 implementation. We have new domain names, the number of users, the number of devices, the traffic, volume, the demands regarding service quality. So there's a kind of intent to redesign internet, if you will. And we see that 4 billion people benefit from the internet. And then we have the other events, such as tier 8 or layer 8 events and kill switch events. And we need to focus on the promotion of trade possibilities and also government relations. Some of you have been in China and are probably convinced that the internet is the best solution to other types of problems. There are some interpretations about the internet according to the different mindsets in different time periods. So these principles that I have spoken about are either ex ante or ex post, and they are useful, very useful, in terms of a practical analysis. And let me now focus on internet governance issues, for example, the DNS issues. It is worthy of note, in order to focus on many other problems. And to conclude, let me show you some links. And I would like to raise some concerns regarding human rights and other fundamental freedoms. The most important right related to the internet is the right to access the internet, the right to have an open, creative, and interoperable internet for everybody. Thank you very much for your attention.
This is José Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Alejandro. Now we will see if some of the participants have any question. I see Fatima has her hand up. Fatima, would you like to take the floor? Hello, José. This is Fatima for the record. And first of all, I would like to thank Alejandro for his participation today in this call and for his excellent presentation. I am really sorry that those people who were devoting their energy to this against this presentation, well, they couldn't make the most of it. And my question for Alejandro is the following. I would like to know the role of the network neutrality in terms of this core values of internet. This is Alejandro Pisante. Well, the neutrality of the network, well, was not considered as a principle because it is considered to be related to the end-to-end principle. So this end-to-end principle has a practical implication, and this also is related to the evolution of the internet. The end-to-end principle has to do with this. The network does not make any decisions. The network needs to take into account what we call the five tones. These are IP communications with all protocols with from any origin and from with any content. This is something quite radical. Any of us who had the chance of participating in a network, well, for example, you might be participating in a university or in a company offering certain services. In that case, with the denial of a service, you might need to administer or manage the protocol related to video in order to allow an email or to reduce the availability of the network. So this requires traffic engineering in the network operation. This is the only acceptable exception to the network. but we also have to take into account access to certain sites with certain content which are forbidden by law. So these have three characteristics: transparency, they have to be legal, and they have to be justified. So this, for example, if we need to translate a word into English or a word into Spanish, we need to just to see how they can be translated. For example, if we talk about the domain names or IP addresses, in that case, we might speak about a private network. So in this case, these networks are not free of charge, but you have access in these VPN networks to different content. This is a more realistic approach. It's a very complex and complete network. This is José Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Alejandro. Is there any other question or comment regarding Alejandro's presentation? José Arce speaking. You can also type on the AC in case you don't have any audio. You can type your question on the chat. I would like to make a comment. This is José Arce speaking. Alejandro, we have been in China, and for example, there they don't have access to Facebook. So one of the alternatives that they have is that in that case, perhaps there might be people who do not want to pay for the VPN service, so they have other social networks where they can't access, but not these particular networks. And if they want to have access to these particular networks, well, they need to pay for this service. So I don't think it would be positive to have a social network due to the lack of access to these common social networks. But it would be there should be governmental regulations to address these limits. I don't know if you would like to mention something about this, but this is that perhaps the Chinese people may have the opportunity of creating different networks to use among themselves. Alejandro Pisante. Well, here we have two aspects. These type of networks are internet networks that have certain functions. They are not invisible, in fact. So they work in this way. They hide some layers. But when we talk about the creation of an alternative social network, well, those people requiring communication, for example, in Iran, this will be detected by the authorities in that country, and they will assess or evaluate the behavior of the network. So this has to do with the layer model. So how should we focus our governance process taking this into account? Well, this has to do with the behavior of people. Thank you very much, Jose, for your question. José Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Alejandro. And you have touched upon a very interesting topic. And I would like to make another question to see your opinion about this. And this has to do with deep web. I would like you to make a comment about this topic, because most of the people know that this deep web is something anonymous, but it is somehow valid. So could you please tell us or make a comment about this? I Alejandro Pisante speaking. It is very difficult to say that technology is neutral. Technology always has something hidden in ideology, which is very well hidden. But we cannot say also that in this case we can, for example, speak about the encryption of certain networks. And I will give you a very simple example. For example, I don't want certain tools, for example, to be forbidden or to be banned in my country because I need them, or because any person can manufacture these certain tools. I don't know if this can be translated into English. I am talking about the lock picking. So perhaps we can charge a tax on these lock pickers in terms of intellectual property, for example. And we may focus on this issue and see if the law modifies the behavior of these particular users. So in this case, this law or this law will modify the activities of certain activists, and this also allows drug trafficking and drug dealers and other criminals to be punished. And this is based on the social covenant. So in this case, internet contributes to addressing these issues. Either the defense of the social covenants or the prosecution of crimes can be addressed or can be solved by means of internet. So as many people in this community, I think that the government and there are certain governments and certain decision makers who do not fully understand the real meaning of this. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Alejandro. I would like to say that I personally appreciate so much your presentation and your comments. This is a very interesting topic. So thank you very much for being here with us. Fatima, have you got any other questions? Just a brief question. We are running out of time, but you have the floor, Fatima, to express your question. This is Fatima speaking. This is a very short, a very brief question. I would like to know Alejandro's opinion about the certain initiatives such as the one in Brazil and the codification of internet values. Alejandro speaking. Well, I may say that I fear any type of codification, and I fear this. And I think we should read this as a watermark in the presentation, because we should apply the law of unexpected consequences. We need to take into account the civil framework of this issue, but what we do not know is what the consequence of tomorrow will be. We are codifying rules, internal rules, and we run the risk of having obsolete rules. And we might lose also our capacity of understanding and the capacity of innovation. This might go against the innovation principle or the innovative principle. So perhaps we might be creating a framework that may favor crime, and this may go against the internet core values. The creation of this dynamic coalition that I said before, that I mentioned before, has to do with the idea of solving or dealing with certain issues that might go against the nature of the internet. And in some countries, this might contribute to deal with certain civil rights and activities. So the idea is to have free internet, but sometimes this might go against the rights of certain groups. So these are the types of issues that we should take into account. And we also need to take into account the functioning in the lower layers. This, of course, does not mean anarchy, but we need to be wise and prudent in terms of applying rules that do not come from the that do not emerge from the constitution. This is José Arce speaking. Okay, Alejandro, it has been a pleasure to have you here. This is, of course, the best time or the best period of time devoted to capacity building, and the fact of asking you questions and you answering those questions, well, it has been very good. So it is a way of paving the way, for improving the region. So thank you very much for being an active part of our region and for participating in this capacity building cycle. So on behalf of the whole region, I thank you. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. Thank you very much, Jose. It was my pleasure to be here. And it's a pleasure for me to share the ideas and to debate with you. We need to see this capacity building cycle as something open. And of course, I will be available for any other opportunity or to speak in any other group, because the capacity building cycle and the interpretation is just one part of our commitment. We need to keep on working together in order to improve. José Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Alejandro. And of course, I take your word. And I think that this short, brief, and clear material should be part of the labeling course, initial labeling course. So I will keep in touch with you in order to deal with this. Now let's move forward with the agenda. There is a topic on the agenda. This is item number 9. We have Alberto Soto. He had a commitment. So if everybody agrees, I would like to take this point 9 in place of point 4, because this is a very important topic. So if no one disagrees, I would give the floor to Alberto Soto for him to speak about the request, an extraordinary request to have an activity in the region. We received an email from Carton Samuel, and we will read that email. So, Alberto, would you like to take the floor? This is Alberto Soto for the record. This project has to do, or is within the fiscal year 14 for Lac Fallo. these are activities that should be aligned with the with ICANN's mission and vision and with La Qualo's mission and vision. So the summary of this project is the following: to increase the number of ALSs, but attacking between inverted commas or addressing or focusing on those countries where we do not have representation. We are present in 16 out of 33 countries, and among those 33 countries, we have certain islands. So we are about, or there are about 33 countries, and we only have representation in 16 of them. So it is a hard task, because, and I will read something that I wrote. Let me find it, please. So among those countries, these we need 18 countries. So the one with the most inhabitants, amount of inhabitants, is that has 14,700 inhabitants. And this is something to take into account. But we also need to take into account the penetration percentage of internet in those countries, and the variation has to do, or is, among an 88.10% and 8.5%, and this is not related to the amount of inhabitants, since 88.1% is Santa Lucia with 166,000 inhabitants. In Haiti, for example, there are 10 million inhabitants approximately, but the percentage is different. And the objective of the project is this. The idea is to focus on countries which where we do not have representation, and create a working group to see how we can address this issue, whether we are going to focus on those with fewer inhabitants or not. José Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Alberto. Before giving the floor to Heidi to read Carton's email, I would like to say that this was not put for the consideration of region, because not because of the lack of time, but because the idea was created not long ago. The deadline was the 19th of April, so we were tuning up this idea in order to present the information. So I publicly thank Carton for sharing the information. Of course, we are going to improve these drafting so that the extraordinary budget request might be approved, and we can share this information with the whole community in order to generate capacity-building spaces or cycles. Heidi, I give you the floor. Could you please read Carson's email?
Yes, thank you, Jose. This is Heidi. So I've given the interpreters the text, so I will also read this note from Carlton posted today. Dear all, while this proposal is laudable, I would urge more refinement before it is presented. The situation is a lot more complex than it appears. I don't know for Spanish-speaking Central American nations, but for the English-speaking Caribbean in general and members of CARICOM, which includes Suriname and Haiti, this is what should be known. From my then position, a ranking university officer in arguably the largest university in the Caribbean, in beginning when she was the ALAC chair, Jacqueline Morris and I engaged in widespread outreach across the Caribbean. We utilized connections from activities in the tertiary education systems of the region, my contacts as the registry operator and registrar for .jm, CCCLD, and other organizations to which I'm attached, like CIVIC. Some success was achieved, resulting in some connections to ICANN at various levels. Representatives from St. Lucia, Haiti, Belize, Antigua and Barbuda have attended ICANN meetings, several as fellowships. Some have shown interest in other constituencies like the GAC and CCNSO. A few of these have even become active members of the CCNSO. Several attempts have been made to form ALSs in a few countries. These were led mostly from colleagues in the tertiary level education institutions, Max Larson Henry at the State University of Haiti, Juan Carlos Namis at the University of Belize, Deidre Williams at Sir Arthur Lewis Community College in St. Lucia, and colleagues in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. These have foundered largely because of apathy. True, we could have encouraged certification even with such thin active support. We choose not to. The point is we want both representation and active participation. In this area, I'm fully in support of the chair's views recently expressed. Then there is the accounting of the countries without ALSs. A lot of the territories that are listed in the proposal are actually of residual colonial status. For at-large consideration, these are properly Uralo, the Cayman Islands, Turks and Caicos, Montserrat, Anguilla, the ABC Islands and St. Martin connected to the Netherlands, and the French departments of Guadeloupe, Martinique, St. Martin, etc. among them. Some of you might begin to understand the rationale for the recommendations from the Geographic Regions Working Group, of which I'm a member. The intent of the proposal is laudable. Its construction, however, is mismatched to purpose. Kind regards, Carlton. Thank you. Jose, over to you.
Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Haiti, for reading this text. It shed some light. Carlton's contribution shed some light on this. The deadline for this was the 19th. So I hope we can engage in a discussion, in a conversation with Carlton and with other people regarding this idea and regarding the modifications of this proposal. We will be working together with Alberto, who was the one that brought this on board to the region. Alberto, you have the floor. Alberto speaking now. Yes, I fully agree with Carlton. And do not worry about the deadline being now due, because we need to create a working group to this end. And may I first describe the way in which this would be done so that we will see this is in line with Carlton's thoughts. If you agree, Jose, may I do that? Jose Arce speaking. I'm sorry, Alberto. My line is a little bit choppy now. Alberto speaking. I will briefly explain what will be done, how it will be done. Jose Arce speaking. Yes, of course, go ahead, please. Alberto speaking. Okay, so briefly, let me summarize this mission. The idea is to reach those countries where we have no ALSs. We do have some ICANN tools, and a working group should be created. And excuse me if I am coughing, but I have a sore throat. But anyway, we should have a working group made up of people from each country or every country that will be in charge of planning work in order to reach universities and other organizations. For instance, Aida Nobia is here in her capacity as a professional association representative. So we could focus on universities, professional associations. We should focus on any other type of organizations according to ideas that we will be receiving. The activities would be outreach, communication, education, face-to-face contact, on-site contact. and this would be coordinated by the working group. And this will be taken or addressed as part of the agenda for the Lacrallo monthly meetings. So follow-up is important. The initial contact will be materialized by means of Skype or email, but the idea is to reach these countries and first of all identify which countries to address first and then start working on this approach. We should start in February 2014 once this project has been approved. ICANN has a strategic plan. So we have the 2010-2013 strategic plan that focuses on stakeholder engagement. So this strategic plan foresees an increase in engagement. That refers to more, let's say, to us working or engaging even more and working more. And on the other hand, it refers to a higher number of ALSs in order to increase engagement. And that second component is extremely important. So there's a new ALAC strategic plan in progress, and Fatima will be telling us about that shortly. So Fatima, congratulations, because that plan was very well drafted and it has some areas of interest, some of which address outreach and capacity building. Within that section, we have Strategic Objective 2.3 that addresses the engagement or participation of the academia representatives, and 2.7 and 2.8 addressing capacity building for government and end users. So this project is fully aligned with the current or ongoing strategic plan and even with the future strategic plan. This was presented in Beijing, and I believe it was highly commended. I will not name the countries where we do not have any represented ALSs because it is not worth at this point in time. This falls within the remit of this new working group. Presenting this type of project calls for metrics. We have no metrics, but what we can guarantee is that we will contact at least one university, one professional association, and of course the government of each of these countries. We have $2,000 to be allocated to literature, let's say brochures, leaflets, etc. That cost may be reduced if we use digital material available within ICANN. Then we have to focus on email contact initially. Once we start focusing on contact and move further on, we can focus on using Adigo and Adobe Connect as communication tools. And we may also focus on universities that may apply to become future ALSs. This is a two-year plan. So we have 9 countries as our target for 2014. That is, and that totals $18,100 for airline tickets, per diem, and accommodation expenses on a daily basis, etc. I briefly mentioned two main factors, that is the inhabitants and the penetration rate. And that is going to be the focus of this working group in order to determine the first 9 countries that we need to tackle, between inverted commas, of course. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Alberto. Fatima, would you like to take the floor at this point in time? I see you have your hand up. Is there something you want to, any point you want to raise regarding the regional strategy? Go ahead, please. This is Fatima speaking. Thank you, Jose. I saw that Alejandro was asking for the floor first. I don't know if he would like to take the floor first. Jose Arce speaking. Oh, I'm sorry, Alejandro. I didn't see you in the AC room, but go ahead, please. You have the floor. Fatima speaking. Okay, thank you, Alejandro. This is Fatima speaking. May I please remind you that we have ICANN's regional strategy for Latin America and the Caribbean, and we are already including some of these points. For instance, when it comes to outreach and capacity building, we first focus on reaching those countries with the lowest representation levels within ICANN's structure in all constituencies, not only at large. Regarding universities, that is also included in one of our capacity building objectives. As we explained, this is a twofold project. On the one hand, ICANN going or reaching the universities and vice versa. This ICANN strategy for Latin America and the Caribbean will have a working group in charge of implementing the strategy, and it will be contemplated in this year's budget, so it will be implemented. So in order to avoid duplicating efforts and duplicating the allocation of resources, as Sylvia was saying, we should review this and adjust this to the result of this strategy. So I would like to take this into account. Thank you. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Fatima, for your comment. Alberto, I don't know if you have any further comments. And then we may follow up by means of our email exchange list. Alberto speaking. Well, my ideas were based on the strategic plan. I didn't know that this was going to be implemented. I wanted to implement something feasible. I didn't know this was going to be implemented. That's it. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Alberto. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you for this proposal. As we said, we had a very brief time window, a very narrow time window. We had a deadline in order to get all these things sorted out. But of course, we always have the opportunity to work things out together as a team, and this conference call has given us the opportunity to do so, regardless of the path we choose to walk along. Let us now address item 4 on our agenda, that is Lacralo elections. Well, the elections took place, results were made public. Today I circulated an email personally thanking the support of many organizations that voted for me. As you know, Fatima says in the chat, she's typing, that Alejandro requested the floor. Oh, I'm sorry, Alejandro, I apologize. If you want to take the floor and speak about the plan, go ahead, please. Alejandro speaking. I'll be very brief, Jose. I think that Carton's and Alberto's analysis is a very good one. On the other hand, we have Rodrigo de la Parra's leading a strategic planning for the region, and they may implement some of these ideas already without having to wait until the fiscal year 2014. So I see that as something feasible. Jose Arce speaking. Yes, thank you, Alejandro. This is one of our outstanding points or issues, so maybe we can move forward and start having or seeing these actions implemented in advance. I see that Sylvia Vivanco is requesting the floor. Sylvia, go ahead, please. This is Sylvia Vivanco speaking. Thank you, Jose. In view of the comments on the proposal, let me tell you that tomorrow there's going to be a conference call in order to debate this proposal. So, Lacrallo, do you consider that this is a proposal that will be debated tomorrow? Jose Arce speaking. Okay, Silvia. It's very good that you bring this up in this teleconference. I believe we will fine-tune this proposal privately, and tomorrow, as early as possible, we will coordinate on this. Silvia Vivanco speaking. Okay, because the conference is at 9 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time tomorrow, so if there's going to be any modification, well, I see that this has been posted on the wiki, but I see several comments, but I would like to know if this is going to be Lacrallo's final proposal. Jose Arce speaking. Alberto Soto, you have the floor. Go ahead, please. Alberto Soto for the record. Okay. Since we did not know that part of this strategic plan that I mentioned was going to be implemented, and we didn't know the degree or the level of implementation, I believe this should be the final proposal. If it is not accepted, so be it. But we do not have elements in order to change or modify this and reconcile this now or even between now and tomorrow at 9 a.m. because we do not have the necessary tools handy. So I suggest this should be the proposal regardless of whether it's accepted or not. And perhaps, Jose, we can include a comment indicating that this proposal should be aligned with whatever ICANN is going to be implementing this year according to their strategic planning. Jose Arce speaking. Fatima, you have the floor now. Go ahead, please. Fatima speaking. Thank you, Jose. Alberto, I do not mean to undermine your proposal. I appreciate it a lot. But what I mean is that we need to align that to ICANN or with ICANN's strategy because that will be implemented before 2014. Maybe we have to fine-tune our proposal. That's it. Thank you. Alejandro Pisanti speaking. I think that the possibility is to get started. I don't see any tension among or between the proposals. We have to take whatever we have available and give it some shape or form within the Lacrallo community. So we need to protect or preserve our budget by means of this proposal. I don't see any harm in doing that. And in any event, it could be a placeholder, and as in any plan submitted a year in advance, fine-tune aspects of the plan between now and the time needed. And I think that is a solution that makes us all happy. Jose Arce speaking. Thank you, Alejandro. I don't know if there's any further comment. I believe that everybody's comments are suitable, appropriate, and they are all in the interest of our region. So if we have to spend the remaining time in this call to agree on this request and on how to harmonize Alberto's proposal, then that will be very useful. I see that Fatima agrees with Alejandro. She has indicated that in the AC room. Alberto Soto speaking. I agree also. Alejandro speaking. I believe that any adjustment that we can materialize by means of email, you know, would be great, and it would be great to do so in that way instead of using the conference call time, taking into account that in any event, adjustments will be needed because conditions, engagement conditions, etc. will have changed. Jose Arce speaking. Okay, thank you Alejandro, Alberto and Fatima. So let us move forward. We have but 9 minutes remaining in this conference call. So Lance, you have the floor. Go ahead, please.
In principle, it's a good idea. My struggle is with the fact that in our current membership, we are still working out issues of participation and representation, and now we are going ahead to expand our membership. Hopefully, in the working group, when that is created, it takes into account some of the difficulties that we encounter now, and as part of the overall planning to expand the membership. In the Caribbean, there are some genuine concerns just because of some of the experiences that some of the organizations may have had in other joint bodies. So I hope that when the working group is created, these matters are taken into account as well. Thank you, Jose.
Jose Arce, for the record. No, thank you, Lance. Thank you for your participation. Alberto, you have 30 seconds left. Alberto Soto speaking. Okay, very briefly, I said that this was in line with the prior strategic plan, the current one and the future one, but it is in line with what we are foreseeing in La Crallo, that is capacity building for ALSs. That's all. Thank you. Jose Arce speaking. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Alberto. Okay, let us move on with our agenda. And let us focus on item 5, that is the regional strategic planning. Fatima has been addressing this point and has been updating us on the email exchange list, so we will address point or item number 6 directly, that is the situation of ALS 177. I will be in contact with you to see if we will proceed to the vote regarding this ALS. I am concerned because the region was not really interested in knowing or learning about this association's activities, but we will define this during this week by means of email exchange. Regarding item 7, that is the working groups, I see that Fatima has posted a link to the Latin America and the Caribbean strategy presentation in Beijing. She has posted that, so thank you, Fatima, for sharing that link with us. And we need to address the topic of elections. I wanted to say mainly that I thank you for your support, and I want to restate my message on today's email. That is, the idea is for us to work together in the interest of the region in order to reaffirm and rebuild our internal cohesion. That seems to be a little bit eroded, if you will, and we should be able to work together regardless of the countries we come from. I want to thank Lance for running for the secretariat. Our association in Argentina supported his candidacy. He is currently actively engaged in the region. He works in one of the groups together with Dev Ananti Laksing. Lance is working in the technology working group chaired by Devananti Laksing. So Lance, I want to congratulate you on what you have been doing in the region. Please keep up the good work. I believe that in the next elections you can run for a leadership position again. I believe you are fully capable of doing that, so I want to thank you and congratulate you. And I also want to congratulate Sylvia on her election. Regarding item 4 on the agenda, that is Lacrallo elections, I will not say any further in the interest of the remaining time in this conference call. But if anyone wants to take the floor before we address the following point, go ahead, please. Okay, let us continue then and now address item number 8 on our agenda, probably our last item today. I wanted to address the topic of Dot Patagonia, and I see that Silvia Vivanco, as I speak, is posting the link to the election results. So thank you, Silvia. So I included item 8 because I received several emails and several questions regarding Dot Patagonia. In the ICANN meeting, one member of our community wanted to take the floor for 10 to 15 minutes in order to address this issue and in order to put forth certain requests. And I would like to make a comment on this. During the Beijing meeting, once I was already there, I learned that some community members had got together and drafted a sort of statement regarding Dot Patagonia. And Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, ALAC's chair, gave them the opportunity to express their rationale regarding Dot Patagonia. There has been plenty of debate regarding or on this subject, and the person that requested to hold the floor during ICANN meeting in Beijing was Sergio Salinas Porto, and he took the floor again and restated his position, and among other things he said that he disagreed on the work done by the new GTLD review working group. Personally, I am very pleased with the group. I believe they have devoted plenty of time and the result is what it should be. I am not against the result or the outcome of the working group's job or task because they firmly observed their charter. I believe that, as already stated, when this disagreement was put forth, well, I believe this resulted from the fact that no effective result was observed in terms of supporting, and I apologize because I cannot think of the proper word, but, you know, the idea was no to Dot Patagonia, no to Dot CBA, no to Dot Amazonia or Amazon. So the group, this community group, did not see support along these lines, and they consider that the working group's job or task did not reflect the community's position. And this was not the case because at the time, when the working group was chartered, a person was appointed or volunteered, and the person was not up to the necessary commitment, and that person is now part of this community group that is saying that the working group did not fulfill its objective, if you will. So it does not make any sense. Also, there was a comment period open for a long period of time so that community members could express their views, especially these people that put forth issues. And they didn't make the most of this opportunity, so they did not submit their comments, and they waited until the very last minute, if you will, because the working group has a very brief period of time, some days, to work upon or on these comments. And ALAC gave these people the opportunity to submit a document and a request in order to exert some influence upon this kind of decisions. They were given a deadline. ALAC's chair told them that they needed to submit that request. If I remember correctly, I think this was on Wednesday when they submitted the request, and ALAC's chair told them that the deadline was Thursday in order to formally submit the request so that ALAC could proceed to a vote and then submit that request to consideration. So that formal request was never submitted. So this goes to show that this community group has failed to observe or to use each and every one of the opportunities that they were granted in order to address this specific issue. I wanted to make or raise this point of clarification because in some instances, you know, I was told that the region had done nothing in order to support this issue of .Patagonia, .CBA, and .Amazon or Amazonia. What I want to say is that some people start or initiate tasks or projects, but they do not bring their initiatives to a close. And this is rather serious, because during the Beijing meeting, they had the opportunity, they had an open space in order to express their request, to put forth their request. And the following day or the day after, they had the formal deadline in order to submit that formally, and they failed to meet that deadline. So this gap, if you will, is highly detrimental to the region, because in everybody's eyes, the region puts forth a request, and at the end of the day, when we have the opportunity to materialize it, we do not use it. So I am saying this because I did not learn about this request until that very same day during the Beijing meeting. So let me tell you that you all count on my support when it comes to addressing any type of request for the region. So if we're going to put forth such a significant request, let us agree on it, let us submit it, and let us bring it to a close. We cannot leave things halfway through. So this should be a lesson learned so that we can work together as a team, bring things to a close, and reach a result. In this case, we failed to work as a team, and we failed to reach a result. So that was my summary. I tried to do so as quickly as possible in the interest of time. Many people in the region are concerned about this issue. Many people have worked seriously. For instance, Deb, in his capacity as the chair of this new GDLD's review group, and some other initiatives did not come to fruition due to the lack of communication and teamwork. This is a shared responsibility because we do not have formal communication channels. I do not know if perhaps any of you would like to make a comment at this point in time before bringing this meeting to a close. Go ahead, please.
Lanz, would you like to take the floor? Go ahead, please.
I don't know if I missed any of the correspondence or the discussion. Did La Corralo take an official position on the matters of .patagonia.amazon and at any point? And if so, what was that position? Or this was just supporting the rights of Sergio to and his community to raise their concerns about this matter? I'm just curious about the distinction. Thank you.
Jose Arce speaking. Thank you very much, Lance, for your question. I read your question on the Acer room, but I was not able to answer it due to the lack of time. La Corralo has no take any position. The working group had a deadline to present the objections or to say if they're going to support any objections, and the result was only for .hill. And that deadline... During the deadline, the representatives, La Corralo representatives in that group, couldn't do anything at all. That was the chair, and the other representative was not able to participate. So La Corralo in itself never took any decision or never had a position taken, because otherwise we would have shared that position with the rest of the community or with the list. Since this was the mandate, well, this was not done. Some people, such as Sergio, Guillermo Zamora, Diego, and etc., believed that this was a very important issue, and they drafted a declaration by themselves. And I think this is a valid point, but we should have done this all together as a teamwork. I know that anyone can produce or draft a statement. It doesn't matter if the deadline is already finished, but I believe we can express independently or not, regardless the deadline, but it would have been a good idea to do this all together before the deadline. But in this case, well, the region has not have not taken any position in terms of this. In the ICANN meeting, what we had was the attempt or the intent of a group of three or four people to do something about the issue without any kind of coordination and without the coordination of the leaders of the region. Is there any other question or comment regarding this issue? Jose Arce speaking. I can see some comments on the list. Of course, we might keep on debating the issue through the email list. Now, I would like to bring this call to a close by thanking the people, the participants, the staff, Gisela, Sylvia, Heidi, the interpreters, and all the participants on the Spanish and English channels. We have many pending issues, so we will be in touch by means of the list so that we can address the most urgent matters and to be able to plan for the future. So thank you very much for participating in this call, and let's talk next month in our monthly call. Thank you very much for your time and participation, and good evening.